Hello friends, I have to tell you all about C60 Purple Power. Since I started using C60, which may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man, I feel amazing, and you should too. I have more energy, I sleep better, and I've lost over 30 pounds. But please go check it out for yourself. It has so many amazing benefits. Just click the link in the description or visit C60PurplePower.com and use coupon code KNOWLEDGE10 to get 10% off your order plus free shipping. That's C60 Purple Power. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Leo Zagami. Before I bring him on, I have to thank my Patriot Supply. They are the experts in emergency preparedness, with the possibility of course, more lockdowns in the near future, more draconian measures to come. It couldn't hurt to have an emergency food supply. Thanks to my Patriot Supply, I have a four-week supply of their awesome food. It stays good in storage for 25 years. And right now, you can get $70 off a two-week supply and $100 off a four-week supply of their food. Just click the link in the description or visit preparewithfkn.com to get your supply today. Also, please subscribe on our backup channel. That's on lbry.com. The link for that is also in the description. And also, if you've been catching our episodes lately, you know our podcast was demonetized. We finally received an email from one of their representatives, and they claim to be reevaluating the situation to remonetize and possibly pay us the revenue that we're owed. So we're going to see what happens there. Hopefully they do the right thing, and we'll be able to keep paying our bills and bringing you these shows. I want to thank all of the amazing support and donations so far. It's because of all of you that I'm still here almost every day bringing you these amazing guests and information. Unfortunately, we're fighting big tech and censorship that comes with it, and there still isn't enough opposition or people speaking out against this. And the ones that do are immediately singled out and targeted for censorship and shadow banning. And right now, especially if you're like a medical professional and you say anything that goes against the official narrative, you could lose your license or even worse. So we're at a really critical time right now, and it's really up to us what direction we go. But tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Leo Zagami. He walked out from what he perceived as the criminal side of the New World Order, or Illuminati, and he now exposes the dark side of these shadowy factions. He's the author of several books. He has the Leo Lion Zagami channel on YouTube and has made several appearances on InfoWars. Leo, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I used to have the Leo Lion Zagami channel because it was basically brought down a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So it's been, of course, we are victims of the censorship. The month prior to the elections, we had three different channels closed down, including my wife's channel.
Oh, man.
We lost hundreds of videos, and now we are, of course, on a number of backup channels, but it's very difficult to pick up back, especially the English-speaking audience. I have no problem with my Italian audience because we have addressed the situation for a while now, and people seem to understand that they have to just migrate from one channel to the other, or in alternative, you can go to some other platforms. Of course, the other platforms at times don't have the same streaming facilities or other things. So it's very difficult when you had also a number of articles, for example, linked to videos, and those videos have been removed because then you have to go back into those articles and possibly re-upload the video somewhere else. All this is bringing, of course, the alternative media and the conservative media once again to face this problem of censorship, which will touch even Donald J. Trump. Apparently, in January, he will have his own account removed from Twitter on the 20th of January. That's what the Independent has confirmed. We don't know if that's accurate, but we think that Trump should have done something before. He could have done something a long time ago. He didn't, and now he's going to fall victim, like everybody else, of the purge.
That's one of the things that I want to talk to you about. Last time we spoke was in August, I believe. So much has happened since then. Those of us have eyes to see are witnessing agenda after shady agenda unfolding every day. The other day,
course, I mean, it's more or less like we predicted for many years, and now things are actually on the ground and they're manifesting. I'm quite surprised that people are still thinking there might be a way to overturn also these present elections that have, of course, fallen the victims of a fraudulent situation, a system that has been devised to steal the elections. But now it's nearly and almost impossible that Trump will be able to do another 4 years. He will have, though, another chance in 4 years. That's right. The most important thing, because now we have to see what happens in January with Georgia, with the Senate. And from there, I think even Trump will decide or not if he retires or if he picks up the leadership of the party and then proposes himself in 2024. Of course, if in 2024 we go once again towards a similar scenario with all kinds of trickery, I mean, the dead have voted, systems of software that could be hacked, uploaded with votes from out of nowhere. Now, if this repeats itself, then we should have also an assurance policy. An assurance policy that I think the only possible assurance policy for those states like Texas and others that unequivocally have voted for Trump and love the Trump way of life, then they could ask for a secession the moment in which the next elections are rigged once again. I hope that that's not the case. I hope that, of course, democracy can go back to his natural swing here in this republic. But the problem is that this republic on which we stand stands on certain things like the Constitution. And the Constitution has been violated several times. But the problem is for many patriots to realize that the New World Order doesn't give a damn about the Constitution. For them, it is just a simple parchment, a simple piece of paper that they don't regard as important. Because for the New World Order, the most important thing is to homologate everything, to bring everybody on the same level for this global socialism, communist nightmare that, of course, is being built around us right now with the Great Reset. The Great Reset is something that is supported by Pope Francis, supported by the Rothschild, supported by the Rockefellers, supported by Bill Gates, supported by Soros, and by everybody else that basically wants to transform this world in a living hell.
Well, I know, I know you're a supporter of Trump, and there's, of course, overwhelming evidence of the fraudulent activity. Of course, I never trusted our political system to begin with, so none of it surprised me. I want to really get your thoughts on seeing how everything unfolded. I don't see how Trump has a chance this year.
I think we have to be realistic. I was realistic actually from the very start. And aside from that, I had warned at the end of October on InfoWars, on a show I did with Alex and with Owen Schroyer, that this might happen. I actually said Trump will win on the night of the elections, but from the day after, these elections will be contested and they will manage to steal these elections, because we have to understand that, yes, Trump is a billionaire. Yes, Trump is a very capable man, but when you have against you people who have much more money than you, much more influence and power than you, how long can you last before you capitulate before you give up. I mean, that's why it's important that Georgia is won by these two Republican senators, because that will give Trump the confidence to not only carry on, but to avoid possible arrest by the judiciary, especially when you have already attorneys in New York and other places that are talking about arresting Trump. So you see, the thing is that Trump knows very well that if he loses Georgia, then the best thing to do is to simply disappear, because if he loses Georgia, then if he goes into an election bid, he will not even have the possibility to defend himself, because not all the Republican Party will stand with him after the defeat in Georgia. There is already signs that unfortunately are quite worrying within the Republican Party, that is regaining a little bit of that swampic activity, you know, that the swamp is kind of regaining momentum, the creatures of the swamp. People like Mitch McConnell yesterday, or Lindsey Graham, just siding, or at least accepting President-elect Joe Biden, is a sign that they are, of course, capitulating to that idea. But we know that we have to be realistic about it, and we know that we don't have that much time left before these people will become in charge. And that means Kamala Harris, that means the Green New Deal, that means the possible destruction of the American way of life, and this unification of America with the United States, with the rest of America, you know, Canada, Mexico, open borders, open everything, because we're going towards a new world order in which there will be a completely different reality, in which, of course, vaccinations assume a strategic aspect for the implementation of the subsequent mark of the beast. Now, and that is, of course, happening once the people who are vaccinated will eventually interact with something that is unknown, and that probably in the end will modify their genome, will bring them under the control of these big multinationals and Bill Gates that are working, as you know, and as we have always said, and they have even patented this mark of the beast, in the sense that they want to transform even your body in a depository for cryptocurrency and all the rest.
Yeah.
Now, I don't necessarily think that the crypto is necessarily evil, but at the moment crypto has unfortunately entered a spiral in which it's kind of becoming a more controlled asset, and so is not the asset of a revolutionary any longer, and it's becoming more and more the asset of the new world order, inclined in investing in digital currency.
Yeah. Now, there is a couple of things you said I want to go back to. You mentioned that, you know, basically the media has already decided that Biden's president, but I don't, you know, he won't be calling any shots. I don't even see him being able to tie his shoes, much less run a country. Do you think something that's going to happen that's going to put Kamala in charge, to where she'd have
well,
to
he
step
has,
in?
He has almost admitted that if he will get in an argument of moral, let's say if he will have an ethic and moral confrontation with Kamala, he will give up the White House, and he said that he will pretend he's sick. He has some kind of sickness. He actually openly admitted that in front of the cameras. That's a very important. And actually, we have to admit that every now and then Joe Biden, maybe not willingly, admits his own things. Like when before the election, he said that they set up the biggest fraudulent organization for these elections that was ever put together, in the sense that they were capable of manipulating these elections. And so I think that Joe Biden is aware that he doesn't have that much control over the situation, but he's simply acting as a soldier of the Jesuits, and that's what he is. He's the second Catholic president, And on the contrary of Kennedy, he's the one that doesn't go against secret societies, doesn't go against the Federal Reserve. He simply follows the system and the orders of the system. And in the end, he will probably concede to the far left through Kamala Harris. Now, we know that if the Senate is won in Georgia by the Democrats, then Kamala Harris will become probably one of the most powerful people on the planet. So it's unfortunate that somebody who was actually not even capable of reaching the end of the presidential bid, because nobody really wanted Kamala Harris as a president, has to then resurface through the vice presidency because of an incapable president in the first place, which is Joe Biden, who is tarnished and ruined by the scandals of Hunter Biden. He insists, even recently, he's confident there is nothing to hide. But the moment in which they want to get rid of him, he knows very well that even the leftist media, the mainstream media, will use that scandal to bring some problematic. You see, that is the what actually Joe Biden said about this moral problem that he could face with Kamala. Well, that is the moral problem that he has already announced himself. Prior to this, to even entering the White House, he has basically laid the foundation for his own demise. And so I think that we all know that the most important game is in the Senate. After they, if they control the Senate, then this nation can say bye-bye to a number of things. Of course, we can already expect on the 21st of January a number of executive orders that will immediately overturn a series of decisions that Trump has made, and that those executive orders will be issued without any confrontation with Senate or Congress. But the moment in which then you have also the Senate in the hands of the Democrats, that will make those executive orders just the beginning of a big change that will be then at that point unstoppable. And so I hope that things, of course, turn out for us, for the Republicans, positively in Georgia. And aside from that, though, if there is no real strategy also in 2024, we are risking the end, a complete end of democracy. We are going towards a one-party system that, like here in California, already for many years, the Democrats have taken over the system. Biden was eventually elected with the 55 great electors here in California, because California is a system that is completely rigged. And once we had the Republican called Schwarzenegger as a governor, he was no real Republican. The guy is hanging out with Greta Thunberg. So I think that we need to inject new life in the GOP. Trump was capable, definitely, of bringing new life into the GOP. But now there's a big problem here, because, of course, Trump is putting all his business, everything on the line, and he knows very well that at one point he will be facing the same problem that maybe other people before him has faced. Silvio Berlusconi was a guy who for many years fought the communists, who for many years fought the leftist in parliament, and he was very successful. But then, less than 10 years ago, they went to him. They put together this big fine for his TVs, something like a $500 million fine. And behind this fine, there was a guy called the Benedetti, who of course works with the leftists. He works with Edmond de Rothschild. He's the head of the Rothschild Bank there in France. He's in the past, at least. And then the Rothschild Bank has interest for 20% in the Bank of China. And so this situation, in the end, brought Berlusconi to end his policy of anti-communist, anti-leftist activity that was for decades his trademark. And now He's basically lost all his political appeal. He joins the left in every decision, and he's no longer the Berlusconi we used to have. So here we definitely have to hope that they don't reach Trump to a level, you know, they don't get to him at a level, and then Trump turns out to be another gatekeeper or somebody who has just wasted their time because he simply gives up and betrays the ideal. I don't think Trump is that way. I think Trump has done an excellent job in bringing back Americana, in getting this country back to the levels of respect also internationally that we needed. He worked very much with Jared Kushner on peace in the Middle East. We know that the day after Biden arrives in the White House on the 21st, John Kerry is the guy who's going to go to Beijing. We know that as an envoy for the climate, he will be in charge of negotiating with Beijing. And so we go back into the Paris Climate Accords, but we also see Kerry and the Skull and Bones going back to their old home, because it's the second home for the Skull and Bones. George H. Bush was the first emissary in the early 70s with Barbara to live in Beijing before he became head of the CIA. And as a bonesman, he went to Beijing for Nixon, for Kissinger, and did a job that opened up that country to capitalism. We have opened up this country to the possibility of being defeated by an enemy like China, because China was nowhere close to the United States 30 years ago, but because 40 years ago. 50 years ago, they became strong in the period after the 80s, when people like Kissinger had opened up the capitalist system to use China. They fought as a place where they could manufacture. And from there on, gradually, China absorbed this manufacturing business, often stole the patents of material that was brought there, and of course made by cheap labor, but still it was also an opportunity for the Chinese to steal what they were working on. So it's not been really a good deal in the end. I think that we are rediscussing all this, of course, with Trump. We have seen even Apple walking out of China recently. But I think that, of course, with Joe Biden, who is a friend of China, whose son has even openly bragged, and we have a recording of it, of his relationship with the Chinese chief spy, we know that, of course, China will make business with Biden, and that's why Kerry is going immediately to see Xi Jinping. And then we have another, of course, immediately, then we will have other changes. There is Iran. Iran is already, Rouhani and the whole gang of the mullahs already said that they are ready to welcome Joe Biden and restart their own talks on the nuclear deal. What does that mean? Does that mean another airplane full of cash for the Iranians? And does that mean more instability in the Middle East? Yes, it does. And so I think that we are definitely in front of a very bad 2021. We are about to close what we think and perceive is a bad 2020. But we still have to see the consequences of it. And so 2021 will be even worse.
Yeah, and you were mentioning some of the agendas that we're going to see in 2021. Let's kind of break down some of those. We have the V word with this RNA Frankenstein experiment that they want to inject everyone with. The big tech takeover, censorship. We may not have any platforms this time next year. whenever they start rolling out.
Well,
their
I mean,
what do you think is this desired outcome for the United States? They don't want human contact. They want people in their homes. They want you on your cellular device. What's going on with some of these agendas for us?
I simply hear everything that is happening for the Great Reset is hiding what we have been discussing from the earlier this year. The fact that 2020 would see the great change that will start to kickstart the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, the mark of the beast, the persecution of Christians. All this is going to unveil, is already unveiling, is already showing the intentions of these people to literally conduct on a large scale persecutions, control, and in the end, destruction of the private property, elimination of the private property in favor of a state that feeds you like some kind of, we are going to become children of a mommy state that decides everything for us, because there will be such a crisis that they are putting together that is most of us will end up, unfortunately, in those queues that this year we have seen, not seen, probably queues like this from the Great Depression, and we will continue to see in this dark winter ahead.
Now, you mentioned the possibility of our relationship upcoming with China, and we see in China the persecution of religion and spirituality, and they're trying to extinguish that and try to go to this hive mind mentality. And it seems like they're trying to do the same thing here and bring on this kind of technological worship. Would you agree with that? That they're trying to kind of bring forth this to where you're not spiritual anymore. You're just you're in this technology. You're in this hive mind.
I mean, I've been discussing this in this book here, volume 6.66, as you know, which is the age of cyber Satan, artificial intelligence, and robotics, which basically is manifesting in front of our eyes. China wants to be the leading nation of the AI by 2030. Whoever the personal data of everybody is becoming a very important asset for the building of this artificial intelligence. Because, of course, more data you feed into the artificial intelligence, more you can really get the artificial intelligence to react in the best way possible. For example, at the beginning of the year, we have discussed the COVID pandemic arrived later on, things changed when, for example, biometrics, suddenly cameras had to get used to the mask. And so, to the identification only with the eye. So we arrive into a level of control that will make it impossible for people to simply put a mask or something on to protect their privacy. And that's the complete control. The credit score system that they built in China is something that probably they're going to sooner or later bring here. I think that still in the United States of America, we have millions of people who have voted Donald J. Trump. And those people, though, need an honest and sincere guide. Because at this point, we know what has happened in these elections. We know how they have frauded Trump. We know that Trump has been deeply scarred by this, also his emotions. You can see that the guy is really upset. So I hope that he will take on the burden to continue to be the leader of the Republican Party, because the future of the Republican Party without Trump will go back into those swamp creatures that have, brought us people like Mitt Romney or double-faced people who basically in the end are no better than any Democrat, because they are always financed by the same person, which is George Soros, is his son, it's all a system that of course doesn't really make a difference if you are from the Republican of the Democratic Party. You don't have to think of me as somebody who necessarily thinks that the two-party system is something that anything more than just a show. It is a show most of the time, but this show has been brought to us in a sort of like box that kind of worked out. And now this box, though, is not working anymore. This system is not working anymore because, of course, they are forcing us into a one-party system because they don't want us to think anymore. They want us to simply think like the nanny state that they are implementing.
Something else that's extremely concerning is, of course, the new V word that they're trying to roll out, that even if you mention it, you could get shadow banned talking about. But they're so eager to roll this out. There hasn't been any testing. Usually there's years of testing before any vaccines rolled out. They're already talking about travel restrictions. If you don't get it, you know, you may not even be able to work. So this is another huge concern, and it seems to be rolling out really quickly. Right now, it's unconstitutional to mandate the vaccines, but how long could that last with the climate?
That has been one of the points which really has sounded a lot of alarm bells when it comes to Trump. Trump has never really he has never doubted the vaccine. He has always promoted the vaccines as a solution. He has actually helped the vaccines being developed in a record time. But he himself has actually taken COVID, and he has fought with Rejuvenon, with Remdesivir, and that's the best way to actually get COVID. It's the best way to fight COVID rather than take the vaccine. COVID is not an invention. Is a virus that was created in a laboratory in China. This lab, level 4, was put together with the financing also of Obama in the Obama's era, but it was also helped built up by the French. I talked about it very much in detail in volume 5 and this new edition that came out before the summer. And basically now we are starting to see some information that is starting to surface of cables that went around between scientists in January and February, in which, of course, the lab thesis was always cast aside because it implies the responsibility of a country. That country is China, and China is liable in front of the world. The moment in which we are negationist, the moment in which we don't believe in the virus, we are helping China to get away with murder. So in that sense, Trump was very much right in blaming China. And I think that is a pity now that without Trump, we're going to see simply this whole thing basically put under the carpet. Nobody can discuss the origins, or nobody can really know where it comes from. In the meantime, China is even trying to corrupt Italian politicians because they want to create the false myth, legend, whatever you want to call it, that COVID was created in Italy or in some way manifested in Italy, which is one of the hardest hit countries. But at the same time, as an Italian, part of Italian, because as you know, I'm half English, half Italian, and now I'm becoming American. But as my experience in Italy, I've seen that all this oppression that they are suffering, and they're really being locked up for months on end. And when you go out of your house, you have to write down a thing, where you're going, this and that. I mean, the freedom that we have here and we give for granted in the United States is gone for the last year or so in Italy. And so I think that countries like Italy didn't have a better situation because of their lockdowns, because of the stringent measures, because of the use of masks. Masks actually help at times having serious problems with the bacteria that can infect you, because in the mask you catch all this stuff. You should change the mask every I don't know how many hours, and it's like people often use the same mask and this and that. I mean, it's like we are using something that in the long run is probably going to bring a lot of health problems. So, I mean, I personally only use it for a few minutes if I'm in a supermarket, where here in California is obligatory. And that's it. The moment I step out of the market, that's it. I'm lucky enough where I live, I don't have to wear it. But in other areas, or in Los Angeles or whatever, they can't step out of their house without having to wear it. They get reprimanded, they get fines, and so it's very sad to see that this system of control at the end of 2020, this experiment of the New World Order, was generally successful. So now what they're going to do next? They have managed to place this on us, and we have actually not rebelled a bit. We have actually joined the whole thing. And now they're going to go forward with more oppression, because now they know they can move forward with more oppression. So there is not going to be any new normal or any going back to normality. Like we said at the beginning of 2020, this is the beginning of a period of great uncertainty for mankind. And it's only the beginning.
Well, the new normal is basically the New World Order. That's the way I see it. I see that they're just trying to bring this forward. People are going along with it and being complacent, but they have a portion of the population that is rebelling and waking up and going against this and starting to speak out against it. Unfortunately, I don't think it's a large enough portion of the population right now to even do anything, because immediately whenever someone speaks out against it, they're silenced, they're shadow banned.
Well, regarding, for example, the Trump situation with the election, now we had another march on Saturday. It wasn't successful. There were probably between 15 to maximum 20,000 people. Compared to 1 million expectancy, I mean, you are promoting yourself as a MAGA, million MAGA march. That means that a lot of people are already implicitly ignoring the call for opposing these fraudulent elections, and that we are left with only a few patriots who have basically gone to Washington, had Trump appearing from an helicopter, and that's it. So it's really disappointing, I think, that we are in this situation. I hope that between here and January, meaning between the next month when we have the elections in Georgia and everything, Trump can bring back the party together with the victory in Georgia, that we can have at least some hope for reinstalling a Trump presidency in 2024 and a real normality in 2024. But if that's not the case, and if they continue with this coup, which started in the night between the 3rd and the 4th of November, I think that we are definitely going towards the last stages of the New World Order, because that's their intention from the beginning. Their intention is to use the next 10 years to install the Antichrist. They know also that the Messiah will confront the Antichrist. This great confrontation might happen at the United Nations. It is a time in which people will see things that they can hardly believe, because they think it's the stuff of legend or the stuff of something written on an old book like the Bible. No, it is the stuff of prophecies that are manifesting from various faiths and that converge on this moment in which there will be a final clash between these forces of good and evil on a massive scale. We see how evil, for the first time in the history of mankind, wants to dehumanize the man. They want to, you said at the beginning of the show, the smartphone, the fact that we are always looking down and we're not looking up anymore. We are imprisoned into a virtual cage that with virtual reality is going to probably become even worse. And a lot of people will join virtual reality because of the continuous lockdowns, because this is only the beginning. There is already probably another virus behind the corner, and they're not going to let go of something once it works. And it's working, unfortunately, but for them, not for us.
Now, you mentioned some that we're going to start seeing some things that are, you know, might have been mentioned in the Bible or prophecy. I'd like to address some of the, I guess, occult practices that these people at the top are accused of practicing. Satanism. Is it Satanism? Is it something older? You hear of Mithras worship, even Babylonian occult practices. What are these elites' beliefs? Is it different factions? Do they have different occult practices, you know, amongst the different factions? What are they, you know, what do they really believe in and trying to ushering in?
Well, the figure of Satan comes from the figure of Set, the enemy of Osiris. In that case, it's a confrontation that goes on from ancient Egypt. You mentioned Babylon. We have seen lately the nativity in the Vatican this year exploiting some images that seem to be from ancient Sumeria, or even a paleo-astronaut, or even this Zed from ancient Egypt as the body of the Archangel Gabriel, which is a very important factor in the concept of immortality for the Illuminati. And the concept of immortality, of course, brings us to Jesus as the reincarnation of something then. And that is blatantly positioned in front of our eyes in St. Peter's Square today in this unusual nativity that has already saw a lot of controversy today in Rome. I've actually read an article from a source who works as a journalist in Rome for Church Militant, and he has talked about the fact that from Monday onwards there was an initiative that was started by a famous art critic that is demanding through change.org to remove the nativity as we have now. This nativity representation doesn't represent Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, but it rather represents something completely different that doesn't have anything to do with the Catholic Church, and people want it removed. So this is really one more step towards the unknown. You said the ancient Babylonia. Yes, but in the end, we are talking about good versus evil, and even in those cults, there is good, there is evil. So you can call it Set, you can call it Satan, you can call it, and so you can call it Kronos. Kronos sweets his own child. You can call it many other ways, but in the pantheon, then certain images tend to repeat, and they are always the same. The problem now in 2020 is that we don't really acknowledge these forces, and so we are left with acknowledging only materialism, and so we are rather skeptic of such forces, occult forces, that instead are very much taken into consideration by the Illuminati elite. As you know, I have always written books about it, but in particular, there is this book that I published with our friend Brad, the puppet master here. I think you read this book, The Puppeteer's Hidden Power, yes. And to show that there is always an invisible force between behind all this. And there is that alien element that, of course, now the Israeli space aeronaut, whatever, that guy who came up with a book, he says there is maybe the aliens and Trump knows about it and all that. I have written that Trump knows about it, but the thing is, who wants to reveal something that, of course, it's going to actually empower the people who are now getting in charge of this planet? Because the thing is that they are almost following some kind of scheme out of an X-Files film or serious, you know, they are injecting a vaccine, modifying the DNA, making us alien, while the aliens have already taken control of the military-industrial complex behind the scenes, and those aliens are demonic.
Well, they're already planting the seeds of aliens now with all the talk in the mainstream media, the military releasing information and documents, off-world exotic materials. So do you think that that's what they're doing? They're trying to plant the seed that we're going to be interfacing with these aliens soon, a possible conflict or something like that?
there might not be any conflict because this takeover might be actually facilitated by their own representatives who work with them on this planet and that have been working with them for thousands of years. Like I said, in The Invisible Master, the Illuminati elite has been behind the scenes with the rituals to interact with these extra-dimensional creatures from the time of the Pyramid of Giza, that is not only a pyramid for the depository of a pharaoh and so as a funeral chamber, but it's also an initiatic place where people from mystery schools were initiated and came into contact with these extra-dimensional beings that will often give them technology and will kind of facilitate the development of certain civilizations rather than others.
Now, you mentioned, you know, our military, of course, has been knowing about this and working with this. We hear talk of a possible fake alien invasion or some type of Project Bluebeam that would bring together the planet. Do you see that in the cards anywhere?
I think that the moment in which, in the next 10 years, the confrontation between the Messiah and the Antichrist will become evident, of course, then people might refer to Project Bluebeam. If it is an Antichrist, he will use methods that are deceiving. If he is a genuine Messiah, he will not use such methods. So you should judge by their methods and what they are saying, but also what they're doing, because their actions speak louder than words. So these people that preach the ideal society, like Ocasio-Cortez, the New Green Deal, Obama, who continuously goes there, and then they get in clashes between the... Obama now gets in clashes with the extreme left, so they make a theater between each other. But in the end, politics is a theater. The real people who are dealing with all this are the people who have the billions, the great funds, the BlackRock of George Soros, the people like the Rothschild, the Rockefellers, and so on. So these are the people who are really controlling everything. And so I simply find very naive that many patriots can still believe that Trump has a chance when these people actually are threatening Trump's life and livelihood. So we have to only hope that we are able to protect Trump from these people, because these people are going to have their revenge. Trump has acted, of course, in the most powerful seat in the world, position in the world, which is the White House. So when you are sitting in that Oval Office, you are definitely, up until now, one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful person in the planet. But then you see foreign interest and foreign, you know, that are been trying to get themselves to become the leaders of this new world order. And I'm talking about China, but also about Russia. For many years, they have attempted to become the leaders of this new world order. China can't do it because China's economy is as big as Texas. It's not that big. Russia's economy is not as big as it's only as big as Texas. So Russia's economy is not as strong as, instead, China is not only growing faster and faster, but the moment in which John Kerry leaves the United States, goes there, and then comes back and gets a bunch of American factories to close down, and then they start to say, we have to substitute no more carbon fossil fuels here, no more this, no more that.
So we might most likely wouldn't have to worry about war with China right now, more of China just integrating themselves into the United States, really, right?
Yeah, I mean, they will, of course. So there is all this theater confrontation. At the moment, there is a real confrontation because China was on the verge of invading Taiwan, on the verge of declaring war with the United States in a way, because once you invade Taiwan, Taiwan is in some way connected to the US, and that will of course bring to a confrontation. But that's not going to happen with Joe Biden in the White House. Rather, we will see a lot of fake political scoring from John Kerry, and then in the end, the result would be a lot of bad deals, especially for the United States, that will make rich only very few people, and those few people are, as usual, the Bidens, the Kerrys of the situation, the Clintons, the Obamas, and whatever. These people are the elite here in the United States of America. They are the Illuminati elite, and we have not been capable of stopping them. We fought for a moment that with Donald J. Trump, we stood a chance. But I have been warning over and over again, everybody, don't underestimate these people. And unfortunately, I think that the Patriots underestimated them.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of underestimating. I also see, like I said earlier, I do have hope in that I see people waking up that weren't awake before. I see scientists, doctors speaking out against this RNA Frankenstein that they want to release. I see people in the financial systems and education systems speaking about things going on. So that is my hope, that I see people actually speaking up. But the only thing is, the more censorship that's brought on because of this, the less of a chance we have to get the information out. Do you see any way out of this timeline that we're on, this catastrophic type of, apocalyptic timeline, other than, a complete revolution? Do you see any way that we can turn this around?
First of all, complete revolution. The problem here is that if we want to carry on and be the United States of America, we have to preserve this democracy and the right for everybody to vote and have their vote heard in a non-fraudulent system. No? So in the next 4 years, we have to work on, as I said earlier, a policy of assurance. That means that the states like Texas or others that are like-minded and want to go towards secession, because they are more driven towards the Trump system of politics than the libertarian system of politics, and that will definitely ruin those states. There are certain states that will be inequivocally ruined by, by what Biden and Kamala Harris are about to do. But that serves them, serves a lot of people right, because unfortunately, yes, there was a high turnout. Yes, probably Biden in some way managed to win using fraudulent ways. But it's also true that there was the social media completely in the hands of Danny. The mainstream media completely in the hands. The rhetoric went on 24 hours a day. Gradually, they started by censoring Alex Jones. They went on, censored everybody else. And then in the end, as you can see, on the 20th of January, even Donald J. Trump might get his Twitter account removed. And that would be the final move that should make us understand where all this is going. And it is really sad that Trump didn't do something when he had the chance. I insisted over and over again during my shows, literally, I hope Trump does something. I hope that Trump does something. I had all my videos removed with InfoWars. I had this and that. I had even my channel still I was hoping that they will not do something like that. Because, it's a channel I started maybe 9 years ago, 8 years ago. I had hundreds of videos. I worked really hard on it. To see everything removed, it's a really 18,000 subscribers. Now I have no subscribers in my English-speaking channels. I have very few. And so we are left with working on the margins and the ghetto of this digital enterprise, of this social networks. Of course, now there is new ones. You have alternatives.
Yeah, but I for example,
But BitChute, for example, is an alternative. But now they're saying that even BitChute in the next couple of weeks is going to have to comply with a series of regulations. And then you have Parler, then you have Gab, then you have others. But the thing is that they will increasingly get to each one of these companies by
Yes.
threatening them. We're going to take off, your bank accounts, this, that, or the other. In the end, somebody is left on the wall and he can't do anything anymore. So personally, myself, I will continue on a number of channels, hoping that this message that I produce through my shows and everything stays alive. But I have been on the net since 2006 with my revelations and everything, and I knew that this will happen. And so that's why, once again, I think that the books, rather than the videos or anything you find on the internet, are still the most reliable source for your information. And that's why I'm gonna go back to simply write. And I will continue to write until it's possible to publish, because that's also a great big question mark until we get to the level of the Nazis of burning books, and then I don't know what. So
Yeah, it's a very, very frightening future. But like I said, I try to have as much hope as possible. Leo, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this information. Tell the people before you leave, where can they find you? Any information that you're putting out now?
well, nowadays you have always leozagami.com, and that is still fully operational. I regularly publish articles. There is links to my books, links to my new channels, so you can subscribe to my new YouTube channels. And I would say that the next 10 years are the most important for mankind. You have to simply understand that the Great Reset was something we always knew about. We always knew that coming, Agenda 2020, Agenda 2030, Agenda this and that, we knew that the United Nations and the New World Order was working towards getting to this Great Reset. And so we saw it in the Georgia Guidestone. We tried to warn people for 20 years, this will be happening, this will be happening, this will be happening. I think that a lot of people have been awakened to this reality. That's why they're following you. That's why they're following me. And we have to hope that still, either on this platform or other platforms, we are capable of still delivering a message. And the moment in which we seriously, because I think the only solution here is by creating an assurance policy. So the number of states that think like-minded in a like-minded way, and that could preserve the American way for all the other states. Because if there is a number of states that has fallen, like California, like Arizona now, Nevada, they're all falling into the libtard madness. There is still a number of states that could preserve the American way of life, and they need to stay aware that there is an attempt to sabotage such states. They are going deliberately to states like Texas to try to undermine it. They were very upset that they couldn't win Texas this year because they moved so many voters to Texas. They literally are like a virus. The worst virus of today is communism, is socialism, is destroying the American way of life and substituting with something with for many years we have been fighting. The words that were said on Sunday on the pulpit by Cardinal Raymond Leo Burke against Marxism and against the Great Reset should be heard on every pulpit in the world. Unfortunately, Raymond Leo Burke is a cardinal that is a prince of the church, but is in minority respect to Pope Francis, who is instead leading the way for this Great Reset. And they have shown it. I mean, when do you see Lynn Rothschild, Rockefeller, and all these people all together saying, this is the moment in which we will attempt the Great Reset? We're not sure it's going to, they're not even sure themselves if it's going to work and how it's going to work. But they are attempting something which is basically like we all suspected, like the devil, going towards a precipice and saying, follow me, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody's following him. And in this madness, anybody that says like us, no, it's, let's stay away from this. We need to stay away from cities. Cities are taken. Cities are dangerous. Cities are libtard, and nowadays toys that unfortunately will be transformed in smart cities. And there is nothing smart about smart cities. It's basically falling into the hands of artificial intelligence. Nobody in the future without a COVID vaccination will be able to enter such cities. So I think that we need to avoid cities, build our reality outside of the cities, and maybe regain some cities if we are capable. But it seems like cities are really fallen. There is not really any cities, even in Texas. Even if you go to Austin, it's a libtard city. So, yeah, you are in the heart of Texas, and people think, the Lone Star. Then you go I went to Austin last year, and it was like being in San Francisco or Los Angeles. You had people under the bridges, people. Then I go to Alex and I say, what is this shit? And there was Owen who was filming in the middle of the bushes, people. And I said, geez, man, I've been in Austin 10 years ago. I went there in 2008. I go there 11 years after, and I'm like, what is this? So America is being transformed in some kind of Venezuela, in some kind of third world country. And it seems like this madness is unstoppable. So the most important thing that should be in our minds now is not about discussing, oh, they violated the Constitution. We know they violated the Constitution. Yeah. Okay. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? The thing is, we want to preserve our American way of life. We want to preserve our private property. We want to preserve the right to bear guns and the right to talk freely about what we are talking. So thank you so much for having me on. And God bless America and the rest of the world for this not easy start of 2021 that we are about to approach, and that we'll see probably more hardship.
Yes, very well said, Leo. Thank you again for coming on. Until next time, everyone else, have an excellent evening.